This is Sportscaster.com's Open Mic with Johnny Kane on 760 WJR, featuring sports commentary and stories brought to you by the most compelling rising stars in sports broadcasting. Here's your host, Johnny Kane.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. This is Open Mic. I'm Johnny Kane with Sportscaster.com, and if you're listening for the first time, Sportscaster.com is all about providing opportunities for the next generation of aspiring broadcasters, whether that be play-by-play voices, sideline reporters, talk show hosts, podcast hosts, a wide range. And this show offers a chance for these younger voices to be heard right here on WJR. And I can tell you, working in sports at any level, it's highly competitive. And if you listen to sports talk radio or you watch games on TV, you obviously hear and see a wide variety of personalities, some that stand out, some less so. And what we want to explore on tonight's show is how covering sports differs from that of what you'd expect when you watch local or national news, where the expectation of the viewer, you know, for the most part, is objectivity, right? Person comes in, delivers the facts, doesn't editorialize, and then you as the viewer process the information. Now, in today's society, when you watch TV, that's increasingly harder to come by. And I read once that objectivity is a buzzword, but subjectivity is more accurate. Everything's subjective. So what does it look like when you're covering sports? You know, what does the term unbiased really mean when it comes to sports broadcasting? So I think there, you know, in a general sense, right, you want to deliver the action factually and evenly for both teams. You want to avoid favoritism in language. You know, you don't use terms like we or us. You recognize that national broadcasts, obviously, they serve a neutral audience, not a home crowd that's tailored to one side over another. So where does emotion fit in? How does that work? If a voice cracks with excitement, is that such a bad thing? You want emotion to reflect the stakes of the moment, big plays, rivalries, momentum swings, and you highlight the personalities involved, whether that be the coaches involved or the players involved in the game. And emotional calls create memorable broadcast moments, obviously, that fans share and replay. But when does that line get crossed, right? When does a broadcaster knowingly or unknowingly make it about him or her? So broadcasters like Gus Johnson, they reach the top of the profession because they elevate the drama. They don't just call the game, but not everybody likes a particular style. And I think we all have our favorites, right? Our favorite voices. It's what makes the world work. If we all like the same things, then what's the point of it all, you know? Being the voice of a team, you're a part of that. Players may turn over on a roster, but the voice you hear is that consistent connection to a team. Or if your team regularly plays on the same network, say like Fox Sports, chances are you're going to have the same crew working a lot of the games that involve your favorite team. So sports broadcasting traditionally aims for objectivity, but fans increasingly expect energy and personality. And Gus Johnson is one of the most recognizable voices in sports precisely because of his emotional calls. And if I'm being honest, he's one of the voices that helped inspire me because he isn't a cookie cutter delivery, right? He's over the middle. You know, I think I might have borrowed that one time when I was doing high school football play-by-play. You never want to steal style, and certainly you don't want to steal phrases, that's for sure. But Gus Johnson brings great emotion to his calls. Gus is a Detroit native, graduated from UD Jesuit. And I remember when I first met him, actually covering the NCAA tournament back in 2008, I was working at a local news station, and it was before a Kansas-Villanova game, and I had seen Gus Johnson, who was doing a lot of work with CBS Sports at that time. And I remember I jumped off the podium like to say hello to him, and I was carrying a camera at the time. I might have even like fallen into him. He's like, take it easy. But I wanted to go over and just say, hey, man, I really appreciate the way you call basketball. And obviously he's parlayed that into great success and now is, you know, one of the lead voices on Fox College Sports doing college football. And his call here recently during the Penn State-Indiana game earlier this month caught some attention. And that game in particular is a great example of where that line can be perceived as being blurred between excitement and perceived bias. Now, I personally didn't take issue with the call. In fact, I love the call, and we're going to play it for you here coming up, and we want to get your reaction. So if you're a sports fan and listening tonight and you have a thought about what you like, what you expect, what irks you, we'd like to hear it. The number to call in tonight is 1-800-859-0957. Again, that's 800-859-0957. What's your take? And maybe you'll want to hear some more examples before you weigh in. And over the next hour, we're going to play for you some memorable calls over the years from Big Ten football and the Detroit Lions, some of the most well-known broadcasters from our state. Legendary calls from the late Bob Ufer from University of Michigan football. Also, Jim Brandstetter, another former voice of the Wolverines. We'll hear from Dan Miller, longtime voice of the Detroit Lions. And, of course, from Gus Johnson, who I just mentioned. And we're going to have a panel of sportscasters on tonight to discuss the role of the sportscaster connecting with an audience, how you go about making it your own without alienating certain parts of that audience. So I think most of us agree that while some personal touches are accepted, it's when a broadcaster pushes a personal narrative too hard that can hurt a sportscaster's reputation of perceived professionalism. And working in sports, I can tell you, it isn't the type of career you want to set out in if you're easily offended or criticized. None of us is infallible. And doing live games, I can assure you, even the greatest would like a do-over from time to time. But it's live, and it's in the moment. And I heard once, you know, like doing a game is like a painting. So you might have made a mistake in the process that you can't really paint over. So you just have to draw attention away from it with the rest of your strokes. So you might make 150 calls, let's say, in the context of a game and wish you could do better on three or four of those. So a masterpiece is perfect. And I know I'm still working on my first. And many of the calls you hear tonight are from the most critical moments inside a game. Did the broadcaster meet the moment or did he overdo it? That's subjective. We are talking about the role of the sports broadcaster and if and when a line is crossed, right? When do we blur what the professionalism of being on the mic and also having the same type of energy, the same type of passion as we as fans are viewing from home? I want to welcome in our sportscaster panelists today, Cooper Schoenberg from Indiana University and Carter Lutz from the University of Miami. Fellas, welcome to the show.
Good to
it's
be
a pleasure.
Here. Electric and a good topic.
Yeah, it is a good topic.
We miss you, Johnny. We miss you.
It's always good to talk to you guys. And obviously, Cooper, you specifically in this case, because in this segment, I want to talk about one of the plays involving your school, soon to be your alma mater, assuming you're still on track to graduate, which by all accounts, I think you are. I want to take you back to November 8th.
He's not lying either.
Well, we don't have enough time in this segment to get there, but we're all pulling for you. I can tell you that. November 8th, second-ranked Indiana Hoosiers, 9-0, head into Happy Valley to face Penn State. Indiana heavily favored in that game. However, the Hoosiers found themselves on the ropes. Late-game situation. Fox Sports had the call of that game. Joel Klatt, Gus Johnson, Jenny Taft. Doing that game, and as that game, the crescendo toward the end, the comeback efforts from Indiana, it was absolute theater, and I want you to listen to, this was the final play, or the go-ahead touchdown scored by Indiana. Here's Gus Johnson on the call.
Mendoza, in trouble!
Touchdown.
All right, so that was Gus Johnson. You heard Joel Klatt on the back end. Reliving that moment, okay, Indiana comes back to win. They win it 27-14. They keep their national championship hopes alive. They keep the perfect season intact. Kurt Cignetti, entire Hoosier Nation fired up about it. Cooper, you are right there on campus. I mean, obviously the game was played in Happy Valley, but you're on campus there in Bloomington, Indiana. Just give me a sense of, I don't know if you could hear that particular call from where you were watching, but what is your reaction to Gus Johnson's call of that play?
You know, in the moment, could not hear a single thing. You know, the watch party, if you will, inside the bar was an electric atmosphere. Didn't get anything from the TV, nothing. But, you know, after I'm getting all these texts, because a lot of my friends, you know, if they graduated last year, they're a year younger. They know what I like to do. They know I'm taking the sports broadcasting path. And so they ask me, they're like, this is our team. This is your guy. Because I'm very outspoken about loving Gus Johnson. I think he's the best at what he does. And they're like, do you honestly think that this is a good call? Unbiased. Do you think that this is a good call? Me personally, what I think he did, and again, you mentioned it. I think he even has said that he's grown up a Michigan fan. He's from the Detroit area, went to U of D. He's, by all means, he is not a diehard Indiana Hoosier fan, you know, like a Pat McAfee or someone else's. So his call to me is unbiased because he's not a diehard fan. I think what he knows, you know, being a sports aficionado, is this is a team that has been around for 138 years. That has never had anything to root for in 137 years. You know, granted, last year, a little team of destiny. Now, to keep a perfect season intact in a team that has never won in Happy Valley, he understood the stakes. He understood the moment. And for what was one of the greatest toe-tapping catches. So to me, I loved it. I loved it. I think he was so excited, not only because he was so fortunate and blessed to be able to call such a magnificent play, but to be able to call such a historic play for such a, you know, an historic school, a historically bad school that is, you know, this newfound, you know, top dog. And so I think, and what I said earlier is encapsulated. That moment stood still for him, you know, spotlight on him and just the wow, the voice crack. Give him the Heisman Trophy now. The toe tap, the everything. Joel Klatt couldn't even get a word in. I thought it was amazing. And when they just played that clip, chills on the back of my neck.
Carter Lutz, obviously you're not directly tied to Indiana's football program. You as a college football fan, your reaction to the call?
Well, shout out Cooper for laying that out there because he did a good job. Obviously, Gus Johnson's like a hero for us and a big reason why we got into this and a big reason why we're both so enthusiastic over the mic. I have a lot of respect for Gus, and I appreciate the enthusiasm he brings on the mic. Every broadcaster has their own style, and that's what I try to keep in mind when I'm doing my thing. He's got his own style. Everyone knows it. A lot of people love it. But over the past couple of years, it feels like something has almost changed where on that call specifically, I like how he made it a big moment because it was a game Indiana were big favorites going into it. Didn't think it was going to be a good game. Then there's a ton of emotions into it. We're back and forth. And then an unbelievable catch. It deserves a proper call. The only problem I have with it is that it sounds like if someone was going to make an impression of Gus Johnson, that's what it would sound like.
Gotcha.
He's a little over the top with the voice. You can feel like he's thinking about what he's saying, wanting to be over the top while it's going on. So it didn't feel as natural. It felt like more of a, oh, I need to do the Gus Johnson thing because this is the moment to do it instead of just kind of letting it flow. And it ended up coming across a little bit over the top. Love how he was excited for it. Love how he approached it. But maybe, you know, the actual process of him calling it wasn't as genuine as Gus usually has and as Gus has with his, you know, classic calls.
All right, well, there are differing opinions on the call, and I appreciate that take. You know, Mike Valenti has an afternoon radio show on 97.1. He had his own take on Gus Johnson's call. Listen to this.
Can we say that maybe we need to give Gus Johnson a cup of tea or something before he makes calls?
Can we say that a network executive needs to sit him down and go, here's the deal. You're not the storyline. The game is. That was such a fake response. He didn't lose his damn voice. He faked it. He's fake. His whole existence is fake. What a fake call.
He lost his voice.
No, he didn't. He's a fake.
Well, no, I think he did because every play on that drive was, oh my God.
Because he's fake.
They aren't all that great of a play.
Right. So now, when the moment is the moment, you've cried wolf so many times, none of us can be bothered. He ruined the moment.
All right. That was Mike Valenti and Rico Beard from 97.1 in their reaction to that call. And so let me say this, because we did play just the touchdown play. So it wasn't as if he just reached into a bag and then delivered this, you know, voice cracking, you know, go by, give him the Heisman. There was a buildup, a crescendo that naturally built that led to the go-ahead score. So I just want to say when I've done play-by-play and I've had discussions with my bosses from time to time where they say, when you rise to meet the moment, if you already get to a certain level, whether it be an audible level, do you leave room to go where you've got to finally get to punctuate and accentuate that play? What I can say is, and this happened to me one time doing an overtime game with the Pistons and Spurs back in New Year's Day 2022. Game gets to overtime, And when I went back and rewatched, it reminded me of Gus's call on that go-ahead scoring drive, because you don't know what's happening next, right? So in that moment, that next play or that next bucket or that next first down, that is the biggest moment to that point. So are you doing justice to yourself and to the viewers if you're holding back, right? But if you're already, you know, reverberating at this pitch, that now once it finally happens, right, everybody's thinking, well, it could happen. Do you leave something in the tank in order to get to another level to get to? You always try to rise and hit that moment and do justice to the call. I felt like the way that Gus had done it, because that drive, it was building, 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 building. He was already so far here that obviously some of the opinions of Valeni and others felt like, and you too, Carter, where it felt like, hey, it almost felt in some ways a little bit fabricated, a little bit of performance, you know, and did Gus make it about himself? I don't feel that way. I felt like he went as far as he could. And for anybody that's ever put on a headset, which you guys obviously will be doing more of in the years to come, you're going to be in those spots. And when it's live and it's happening right now, there is no, hey, if this happens, then I'll do this. If this, no, it is live. That's the beauty of live sports. You don't know. Nobody knows. So you're reacting in real time as a human being, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that happened. Oh my gosh. Oh no, this, then this. So I felt like Gus Johnson, again, I don't have a tie to Indiana University either. I thought because of all the stakes of the game of that magnitude, I felt like he went and hit it. And again, his voice, whether he needs some tea or whatnot moving forward, we'll have to figure that out. But Gus Johnson's obviously gotten to the place that he has because he has come at it from an authentic approach. All right, fellas, don't want you to go anywhere because we have more memorable calls from throughout the years coming up next on the show. What's your take? How do you feel about it? It is known simply as the game. Ohio State, Michigan. Final game of the regular season for both schools. Final Saturday in November. This year it falls on November the 29th, 10 days from now. But I want to take you back to 2021. Longtime Michigan broadcaster Jim Brandstetter's final regular season game in the Michigan football radio booth. Here's his call from Learfield Sports of Ohio State's late turnover on downs when number 2 Michigan beat number 6 Ohio State at the Big House, which ended an 8-game losing streak in this rivalry.
It's caught by Olave, but it's 5 yards short of the first down. That'll do it. Under a minute to play. Ladies and gentlemen, Wolverine Nation, the long drought is over. Ohio State is vanquished. The Wolverines are going to win this one.
All right, that was Jim Brandstetter. I want to welcome back our sportscaster panelists, Cooper Schoenberg from Indiana, Carter Lust from Miami. Again, that was Brandstetter's final Michigan game, regular season game in the booth. Obviously, his love for the program is genuine. Played football for the university from 69 to 71. And he'd been a broadcaster in the Michigan program from 1979 up through that 2021 season. So the difference there is, obviously, he works for the school. And he is the, you know, he is the voice of the Wolverines. Firing out the Ohio State is vanquished. It's a memorable call. Obviously a little more memorable if you bleed maize and blue. Carter Lutz, your reaction to that call, knowing that it came from a source of a Jim Brandstetter, as opposed to, in our previous segment, Gus Johnson on a national network.
Well, it's a terrific call as the lead play-by-play man for the University of Michigan. And I think this is a really good conversation, a good clip to analyze, especially for sportscasters and for young and upcoming sportscasters. What I'm looking for personally in a home broadcaster, if I'm listening to Dan Miller for the Lions, if I'm listening to Michigan basketball, whatever it is, I'm looking for detail and I'm looking for them not to be fake. Because the one thing that a home broadcaster isn't going to do is they're not going to fake out their fans, no matter what they say. And that's the majority of listeners. And details, stuff like in college football, like recruits playing and guys who have been with the program for a long time and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So for him, what kind of call is he supposed to make? Because the odds are that there aren't really any Ohio State fans listening. It's the first time Michigan has beaten Ohio State in 9 or 10 years, a pain that was felt that brought out emotion, not only in him, but it brought out emotion in the fans. So in all honesty, I see nothing wrong with it. I think it's a good clip to analyze, to kind of talk about what a home broadcaster should look like. But I mean, that game, that magnitude, it is what it is. It's Michigan, Ohio State, haven't won in 9 years. And sometimes you know, when fans are watching this, when people who have followed the team, they kind of black out in these moments and it just happens.
Sure.
And I wouldn't be surprised if Jim said he blacked out in that moment with everything going on. But he did a good job.
Cooper?
You know, not much of a rebuttal. Just going to kind of piggyback. I like a guy that take reminds me of where it's keeping it real is I can respect Paul Allen of the Minnesota Vikings where, you know, he's going to let you know how he feels, you know, to a certain extent, it's like, all right, let's relax a little bit. But from that Michigan call, for that to be his final call in the booth, for that to be his final game at Michigan, for it to be, you know, breaking an 8-game losing streak to the biggest rival, not only in your, you know, in between your school, but what I believe is the biggest rivalry in American sports. I mean, it's the game for a reason. T-H-E, it's the game for the reason.
Yes.
And for it to be at the big house, for that to be, you know, his swan song, like, I think just letting every emotion out. Now, I'm not going to try to sound like a broken record. It's like going back to the Gus Johnson. I think Gus Johnson knew 138 years. Okay. Now, what the Michigan, you know, what he knew is it's been 8 years since we've got our last dub against our biggest rival. This is my last game. I've been a part of this program since 1969. I'm going to leave it all out there. And yes, he has a little more leniency to do so because he is the home broadcaster. His job is to call the game for his team, you know, not really give kudos to, you know, any other team, especially in Ohio State. He's not going to go out there and say that they're the greatest team ever because, you know, that's his biggest rival. I mean, he played against them and now he's calling games against them, but I love it. You know, go out there. That's your curtain call. And I thought it was phenomenal myself.
I did too. And honestly, and I respect Jim Brandstetter. I don't know him all that well. Again, you know, Michigan's ranked number two in the country at that time. Ohio State was six. Obviously they had, you know, Jim Harbaugh. It had taken a long time for him to get over the hump. And when you have, I think it's just important to always remember. So when we mentioned, like, Jim had been a part of, you know, had been a part of the Michigan program for so many years that as a human being, of course he's going to feel a certain way. So, and not necessarily the home broadcast is looking for all that much objectivity. If you're ever driving in the South and you listen to SEC football home network broadcast, it's even, you know, it is overboard on every place. I don't know what they're looking at out there. You know, and you're not expected as a viewer or as a listener to get this unbiased, balanced, you know, just call the plays, you know, 3rd and 7, completion, 1st down. You want to elicit some type of emotion, but it's just natural because there's so much passion that's enveloped in sports that as a fan, you get mad, right? Or you get upset. It's like, I can't believe he's such a homer. You know, it's almost become this thing where you say, well, you know, this guy's showing favoritism over here. I think it's important. Well, what channel are we watching or what prism are we watching it through? And do we give a little bit of grace or do we say, hey, I can understand why this person or this individual, you know, executed a call this certain way? I think that's, and you brought it up, Carter. The whole idea is when you are the voice of a team, that is the expectation going in. Now, if you were, let's say, from the state of Ohio and you had come up to the Ann Arbor area and you catch it on the radio and that's the only broadcast you can get, you're probably thinking to yourself, oh my gosh, who's this homer? And you're like, well, that's kind of the idea. You know what I mean? Because the vast majority of your listening audience wants to hear it from Amazing Blue perspective. So I just think that's important from a fan standpoint of understanding, like, what are your expectations going in? Can you handle it if that broadcaster is giving you a fair assessment of what the game is? Now, if he came on and said, hey, that's a, you know, bogus call, it should have gone this way or whatever. Not now you're starting to, you know, inflect some of your own opinions into how the game is played out. But in those big moments, no, you've got to react. You've got to have some of that fandom in it. Because for all of us that want to put a headset on one day, it's like, how are you going to, in those critical moments, in those biggest games of your life and for those players' lives and for these coaches' lives and for most of the fans' lives, like, how can you make it memorable without making it about yourself? I don't feel that Jim Brandstetter made it about himself in that situation. I think he made it about the program. Again, the you know, the magnitude of that situation as it was. And to your point, Cooper, going back to the Gus Johnson call, even though it was for a national network, and let's just say it was 50-50, half the people are looking for Penn State, half are looking at IU, Gus is always prepared, much like Brandstetter. If you say, here's what's at stake, like, this is why this moment matters. It's not just the end of a game on an incredible toe tap. There's 138 years of history behind it, or in the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry, which precedes all of us, about why that game means so much. I am going to fire a line like, Ohio State is vanquished. You know, like, that's a line. Like, that's a great call. And me being not a Michigan football fan necessarily, it hurt, but it was accurate. And I thought that Brandstetter made the right call on that particular play. We are going to continue with the college football theme and also talk a little bit about the Detroit Lions as well. Carter, you mentioned about Dan Miller, obviously the longtime voice of the Lions. We're going to be hearing one of his memorable calls here coming up and dissect that one as well. Want to let everybody know, we'd like to get your thoughts. What are your opinions on it? Call in 1-800-859-0957. We're also going to reach deep into the archives and pull out an old Bob Eufer call. We've been discussing the role of a broadcaster in calling big moments and big games. You know, what is the right approach? What do you prefer as a listener or a viewer? Our panelists tonight from the Sportscaster program, Carter Lutz from the University of Miami and Cooper Schoenberg from Indiana University. And I think, you know, the traditional view is that, you know, sportscasters, by and large, should remain impartial and provide objective commentary and analysis, right? Let the audience enjoy the game without their personal biases impact or influence the broadcast. However, are we not here to be entertained? Isn't that the essence of why you tune in? If sports is your escape on a weekend or on a weeknight, the idea is, how do you entertain me for, say, a three-hour baseball game or a two-and-a-half-hour NBA game or a three-hour football game? That's got to be part of it. And obviously part of that, you know, is laid at the feet of the broadcasters who are calling that game. So I want to play another clip, fellas, from the NFL. This is Dan Miller, friend of the show. This is from December 22nd, Lions-Jets. Okay, I'm going to set the scene. Lions are trailing 17-13, under 2 minutes to play. They're facing 4th-and-1. Dan Miller, take it away.
Goff's going to throw it. Back and looking. Throws wide open left side. Brock Wright with it to the 30. Brock Wright 25. Brock Wright 20. Cuts back at the 10. To the 5.
Yes.
To the end zone. Touchdown Detroit Lions. Oh, my. 51 yards. Goff to Brock Wright. And the Lions are back in front.
That was Dan Miller, right? 51-yard touchdown pass from Goff to Wright. Game-winning play. Lions win it 20-17. Again, trailing inside 2 minutes to go. He's been the radio voice of the Lions since 2005. So he's seen some things, including, I even hate to mention it, but the 0-16 season in 2008. So much like we were talking about with Jim Brandstetter before, his ties to the University of Michigan, why that call when they finally vanquished Ohio State in 2021. Now you hear Dan Miller watching this Lions rise that has continued to show that rise. So it means something to him. It means something to fans. It was a genuine emotional reaction in my mind. And, of course, they have the Snoop cam. You can see Dan, you know, losing his marbles on that call. You guys are both Detroit Lions fans. Your reaction to that, the voice of the Lions in a critical moment. Carter.
I'll say something quickly to get the conversation going. One thing to note with that, and obviously it was a great call. I think it's Dan Miller's best call, maybe. It was a big game for the Lions at the time. They were just coming up on – I think right after the halfway point of the season, just started a winning streak. But we talked about with Gus Johnson how everything was leading up to the big play. Everything was leading up to that big catch in the end. Well, here, this time, it was 4th-and-1 from midfield.
Right.
The Lions, you thought they were just going to pound it up the middle with Jamal Williams at the time. That's what they were doing. And it was an electric play. It was a play action on 4th-and-1, a little drag route from the tight end, and he took it to the house. I mean, it's one of the best plays of the Dan Campbell era. And for him to be screaming, shouting like that, again, he didn't have the lead up to it. It all just kind of went at him, and I think he did a great job with it.
Yeah, no, I think you hit, you know, the nail on the head. Because if you remember, the previous season was the first season under Dan Campbell, 3-13-1. Then you build some momentum, you get some hype around these guys, and you have Hard Knocks coming to town. And, you know, obviously biased, but I think a lot of people would agree, of phenomenal Hard Knocks, where that famous clip of Jamal Williams getting pissed off because he knows how much he loved this team. He knows how much everybody cared, from, you know, the front office to the coaches to the players. It was really a team effort, and they didn't start the way anybody wanted them to. You know, fans are like, all right, here we go. Bags over the heads, sell the team forwards, you know, just another horrendous season. But then they build some momentum and they go on a little bit of a winning streak. And just what you said, Carter, instead of running it up the middle, that was the start of Dan the Gambling Man. You know, a little drag route out to the left, throw it there, down the sideline, go into MetLife and take what is yours. And I just think that that call mixed with that play was so perfect, and it carried on throughout the rest of the season. Obviously, what a heartbreaking loss to the Bills on Thanksgiving. A couple tough ones down the line. Had one unbelievable win that set up that next 12-5 season in Green Bay to close it out and to knock off, you know, your in-division rival. But I think that call by Dan Campbell is something special. Yeah, Lutz?
One quick thing, you kind of mentioned it. It got everyone excited. It did at the time, because the team was slowly on the rise after starting 1-6, and they put a couple wins together, and people were like, is this real? Is this not? But when the Lions dropped the play on top and Dan Miller calling it on the bottom and him getting into it, I remember like all of us and our friends like posting it on our stories, like, we're back in this thing. We're even fighting for the playoffs. So calls like that can make a city fall in love with a voice.
Well, and hopefully he'll have
Dan Miller. Everyone knows the voice. It's very familiar. But now that the Lions are playing better, now that they're a legit franchise, it was almost the start of it, like Cooper mentioned.
Well, and hopefully Dan Miller is going to have more memorable calls here coming up. I do want to move on to our next one, because this is a classic call. Okay, Bob Ufer, for those that love Michigan football, he called it for 36 years, starting in 1945, beloved in Ann Arbor and across the great state of Michigan. I want to set up this play. Game tied 21-21. This is 1979, Michigan, Indiana, at the Big House. John Wangler to Anthony Carter, one of the all-time great calls from Bob Ufer. Wolverines at the 45-yard line. Here is that call.
Under center is Wangler at the 45. He goes back. He's looking for a receiver. He throws downfield to Carter.
I mean, there's nobody that could listen to that call and not elicit some type of emotion coming out of it. The late, great Bob Ufer, 1979, Michigan, Indiana. Game was tied 21-21, 6 seconds to go. They're at the 45-yard line. Michigan goes on to win it 27-21. They go on to the Rose Bowl, beat Washington in Pasadena that year. And John Wangler even said afterward, when he went back and listened to it, he said it sent chills up and down his spine hearing Bob's call. He said, I feel like Bob's call was better than the play itself, but that's how much it meant to Bob Ufer. That, to me, again, listening to it as a broadcaster and all that he put in, you know, his heart and soul into that program, when you hear a call like that, you know, but to be able to have the turn of phrase, to be able to keep it going. And I've heard some great ones over the years, that how do you get to that moment and how do you just keep threading it, right? How do you keep punctuating that moment? Because I thought Ufer did it better than anybody could. And just listening to that again, I know that I hope for a lot of our listeners that maybe hadn't heard that in a long time, that they took something from that one, Coop.
I mean, and I'll be unbiased, because that's against Indiana. You know what I mean? Like, right. Grew up a diehard Michigan fan and now have been adopted into this Indiana Hoosier family. But that is the epitome of a great call. And I think it's even a little more special, because those old timey calls, you know, it's a mixture between like the bad audio, but really catching everything from the crowd pop to the players running on the field to the marching band going ballistic. Right. And him to not only just, you know, continue on with the play, but you can really tell when it means the world to these guys. And they are thinking everybody from Yost to the faculty at Michigan and whatnot, like just how special of a play and moment that is. And it's going to give everybody chills. It's going to give you for chills. It's going to give me chills, you know, 50 some odd years later, something really special. And when you can say it's going to continue to give, you know, people chills that far down the line, that is how you know you have something special in your hands.
Anthony Carter even said, you know, it was one of the most exciting plays, obviously, he had ever been a part of. But when the players themselves, when they react favorably to the call of the voice of the team, you know they've obviously hit the mark. I feel like you guys hit the mark this week as well. Appreciate having both of you guys on. Carter Lutz, Cooper Schoenberg, a couple of rising sportscasters in the industry in their own right. We are up against it. Carter, what do you got?
One last thing on that last call. You can't forget where you came from. Guys like Gus Johnson, guys like Cooper Schoenberg, they set the rules for broadcasting. They set the tone. So it's good to go back and listen to the old timers because that's how they had to deliver it. I mean, it couldn't just be a normal, regular call. I think it's good to go back and hear the way that they delivered it, and it's inspiring.
Yeah, it's inspiring. Something that we all aspire to do. I appreciate having you guys on, and I appreciate everybody tuning in this week for a special edition of Sportscasters Open Mic. Hope you got something from it. To Carter Lutz, to Cooper Schoenberg, our entire crew, we will see you again next Wednesday night at 8 o'clock here on WJR.